guys, welcome back. It's been almost a month, Reese, but we're back for the 80th episode of the 443 podcast.
We are not going anywhere, people. Matt was on a well-earned vacation. He deserved this. And I was enjoying some time off from watching my football club because they're a perennial dumpster fire.
So Reese, okay, you guys are gonna win a trophy this year for the football fans. I hate this term war or whatever they say, but you guys are gonna win a trophy. So the people that only get a trophies count. So if Spurs or United win the Europa League and they come in 17th place, they had a better season than Arsenal because Arsenal didn't win anything in that scenario. They had a
And
better
what?
season than Newcastle. Oh no, Newcastle won a trophy. Okay, I'm trying to think of better season than Brighton, better season than Bournemouth.
If you want to take the social media route, take
Yeah, I don't.
Matt,
I think it's
totally
stupid.
up to you.
I think that it should be based on the moments you give your fans, based on improvements, incremental, and then you'd have seasons where your team regresses. Newcastle had a season, a perfect example last year. They bit off more than they can chew. They didn't have the players bedded in. They had a massive injury crisis and they fell down the table. And now they're going to probably qualify for Champions League again.
Really quickly, just a quick disclaimer, guys. This will be more of a free form episode. We may talk a little bit of Premier League. We'll still do our predictions. That's something we will always do.
Talk a
But
little
we want
Chelsea comeback, talk a little bit Arsenal, talk about Liverpool basically cinching up the title.
Yeah.
Sorry,
But just to
Reese.
lock it back, no, you're good. But just to lock it back in, like to what you were saying, like I think arguably you could say that Arsenal's had a better season than they did last year. No, like yes, they haven't had as many points, but they're in the same place. They're in a better position in the Champions League. You
And
could
with the
argue.
amount of injuries they've had.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's all perception, guys, but we had a special episode. Matt, I just wanted to start. Let's talk about your trip, dude. You had a
So
very special trip.
I went to Argentina and I got to go see two teams play, Jordi Cruz in Mendoza, Argentina, and River Plate in Buenos Aires, El Capital. I could have gone and I didn't know this, but I could have gone and saw Boca Juniors. Apparently a bunch of tickets opened up for the game. Like 2 days or a week before I went, and a bunch of people, American tourists I ran into, all went to Boca, but my game was sold out early and it was completely a sellout. The River game, I could have done both because they were like exact opposites. So, but no, I did a great time. Argentina is a very safe, beautiful country. And there is nobody from the Argentinian secret police holding a gun to Paco's head right now. Just kidding.
Just
But I loved it, man. Argentina is great. I'm drinking some Fernet con Coke for anyone who understands what that is.
one thing that you had mentioned to me while you were on your trip is that there is a lot of Emi Martinez out there.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, so what's like the what's that with the sort of comparison to Messi where you see him, on billboards and banners? You were saying that you were seeing Emi just as equally or if not more than you saw Messi, right?
One second, I'm looking up the burger place that he is with. But yeah, so outside my first Airbnb, Emi Martinez had a giant billboard the entire time I was there. And then I went to a football bookstore on the subways. He's sponsoring this local Argent sponsored by this local Argentinian burger place. And he has a guac and egg burger, guac, egg, and bacon for his burgers. I went and tried it. I'm not the biggest egg on burger guy. I did half the burger with the egg and half the burger without the egg just to give Emmy my money because he's an Arsenal legend.
Arsenal legend's a bit crazy, but I see what you're saying. He was
All
there from
right.
a
Okay.
boy.
Maybe not an
I'm a
Arsenal
lad.
legend, an
There
Arsenal player.
you go. It's just interesting because, like, compared to America, like our poster boys are, players from our state and in our city, and they span from like six different sports. Did you see like mainly football players, or was it like?
Yeah, I mean, on ads, there were a lot of American and European celebrities, but they also had their own kind of like, lawyers and stuff. And
Gotcha.
one second, sorry, Pac was doing something weird. But yeah, mostly it was just Messi, the Perones, and Emmy.
Interesting. What was your experience watching Arsenal in the Champions League while in Argentina?
Oh, I told since you this drunk, I had like eight beers that night. So I walk the entire, I was in this little town called Bariloche. It's a German-founded town out in the mountains on this beautiful lake. And I go around and I finally find a place of TVs that say they'll turn on the Champions League games for me. So I end up missing the times because my the Bleacher Report app is terrible when you're outside your time zone, apparently. And I sat there and I drank like four beers pre-game. So then the gentleman from Bavaria, Bayern Munich fan, they have one game on one TV and one game on the other TV. An Israeli fan of Barcelona and Man City sits with me. And then a group of other people file in. I'm not talking to them because they're not sitting by me. The Declan Rice goal goes in, and I stand up and I am pumping fists. I see a young man in front of me. He turns, he sees me yell. I see him yell. We run up. He goes, "You're an Arsenal fan? Come on, Arsenal fan." And we hug and pound each other, like slap each other in the back. He's with eight friends. I found out that one's American, four are Belgian, and none of the American or the Belgians watch football. I'm sorry, he was with six people. And then the other one's an Ipswich fan. I end up jumping around tables and watching this with them and jumping back and forth in between the tables and had a great time with these guys. I wish I had ran into them out again, but I needed a pack, so.
I think that first, just really quick on the game itself, like that first free kick was like, okay, as a goalkeeper, I'm sitting there like, okay, what is Courtois doing with his ball? A lot of space there for him. The second free kick was just pure worldy. Like that was on the scale, that was on the tier of Messi scoring against Liverpool in the Champions League of the free kick. Like that was one of the greatest free kicks I've ever seen in my life. No.
Yeah, the first one was savable. I don't know if the coaches are giving him bad instructions or what, but the second one, that one's just going in.
Dude, that
The
was
Mourinho goal, that was like a 60%. He couldn't have saved it.
Well, my thing is like, dude, like you look at everybody's reaction for that second free kick on both teams, both sets of fans, and it was the exact same reaction that I had. It was just pure shock, dude. Let alone, it's one thing to score a free kick in a game, but to score two in the same game is just unheard of, man.
There was a guy there who was a fan of PSG who was hates Real Madrid and was rooting for Arsenal. And even he goes, "Oh man, we have to play that next when you guys win because there's no way they're getting it back." And this is the first time this man used a word I'd never heard before because I'm not a follower of Real Madrid. When I go to Madrid, I'm going to go see Atletico play. I'm sorry, I just the whole history of Madrid, the superiority of their fans. And don't get me wrong, I come from a fan base where there's a lot of crackpots. I'm not defending my own fan
I
base here.
got you. I got you.
I would go see Atletico. But he used the word, "There will be no remontada, no remontada." And then I'm on the waiting for the at the airport and for the plane, and I put my headphones in, and I start scrolling through social media, and I start to see all these like the remontadas coming. And I Googled the history of the remontada and I'm like, oh. But here's the thing. They weren't saying how they're going to beat us tactically the entire lead up to the next game. And you saw, I talked to you. You know how nervous I was. I took off work, people. The Wednesday I was back, I got back at 9 a.m. on Tuesday. The game was on Wednesday at noon. I felt good at work, but I couldn't work with the game on. And I couldn't not watch the game because all this talk made me nervous that about 10 minutes in the game, I realized I go, oh, they don't know how to beat Arsenal. They
A lot of
don't.
teams don't.
Yeah. They were trying to, like, you know, in Lord of the Rings where Gandalf opens up his cloak and blinds the worm tongue guy with the light, you know, I think that's what they thought they would do, but then our guy just like shanked him.
They tried to do the whole aura thing, man. They tried to find some sort of excuse or belief where I think they had windows to capitalize, but man, I don't know what it is, but it's not even just like in that game, but Real Madrid the whole season has just a weird sort of chemical makeup in the final third. And when you go against a team as good defensively as you guys, I think you guys right now are the best defensive team left in the not defensive team, but defensive
Inter's
group.
pretty good. Yeah, Inter's pretty good too.
For sure. But I think right now you guys are better than them defensively, just with the way Arteta has been. I think there was almost no chance that Real Madrid would have came back. And I've tried, and I was telling you that because like I can't see
I
Arteta
never,
losing these
so the
games.
last time they faced Real Madrid, I wasn't a fan. Like your team has faced them more recently than my team has. But like I was telling our friend Rafa, and Rafa asked me to like go, well, what'd you do? And I go, well, I look at this. There's only two players in the pitch, like that you could say Arsenal had the guaranteed better of the players. Arsenal has a system, like that video I sent you, where you're like, I learned nothing from this because I already knew this because I'm smarter than this guy. And Arsenal has a system, and the system beat the individual better players.
And that's why I was always, you know, even with the struggles that you guys went through earlier in the season, this is why I was always Arteta in, is because I felt his system was so like polished with you guys now. And it's like at a point where you know how Arsenal play, you know how they're going to perform. It's just a matter of can we stop it and counter it? And I think the injuries that you guys had this season played a big portion in a little bit of struggles in the winter, but dude, you guys have been unplayable the last several weeks now.
But I got to go see a Sud America match the next day in so I met a guy on the plane on the way out there, guy named Aldo, sweetheart of a man, so pretty decent English, a garlic farmer. So fun fact for you guys, so we can get our educational money from PBS here. Apparently Mendoza is known for two things. I only know one: wine. You know the other thing they're known for, Reese? Garlic.
Garland?
Ajo.
No.
They literally, this guy runs a garlic plantation. And he took me to his son's restaurant and had a tomahawk steak that, like, for $20, I couldn't believe it was so good. It normally costs like 35, but I got a discount because I was with the head chef's dad. But then he goes, hey, you really like football. We talked for like 2 hours about football on the flight before we both fell asleep. And he goes, hey, there's a Sudo America match with Jordi Cruz right now. It's not sold out. You pay for the Uber and I'll pay for the tickets. So key in here, it was like a 30-minute Uber over there because it's on the far side of town. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm game. He goes over there, he goes to the front desk. Somebody comes out in a suit. They're talking Spanish. I don't understand, but every 10th word of what's going on. He brings me over. The guy speaks decent English too. He introduces me. He says, oh, I wanted to take my American friend to a football match, his first Argentinian football match. And then they start talking, and I get the impression they're making fun of him for being a River fan. I guess he's like a well-known local businessman. So they basically go, yeah, it's not sold out. We'll get you tickets. He puts me seats and my phone dies right when I'm going down. And I had to get him to take the Uber back and I Venmo him the money. But we had a great Sud America match for Jordi Cruz where they won.
So is that in the same like flight of division as the like Boca
Yeah,
and River
it
played?
was just their version of the South American Europa League.
Gotcha. Dude, that is sick, man. So I bet the
If that
seating is
helps you
crazy.
understand, but South American Europa. It was the
Gotcha.
second division of South American continental football.
Makes sense. Because the first one is the Libertadores or whatever.
Yeah,
Libertadores or something.
Libertadores, Copa
Gotcha.
Libertadores.
Gotcha.
And then I went and saw River Plate, sorry, beat up on. Well, actually, it ended up being a draw. I thought that was going to be a good match. I wanted to go see a win. Face Cordoba, one of the Cordoba teams, the Merchants.
What was your favorite part of the trip, man?
So I'm gonna give top three. One was that Des and you had this amazing meal at a football club's restaurant with my friend May and her friends and family. 18 people. They basically bought a half a cow. Cost us just under th around $300, including tip. We ate everything. Now I'm talking when they say the cow, they mean the cow. Like we ate the stomach, the intestine, the heart, the lung, the brain,
That's
everything.
good. Jesus.
And then they packed up the parts they didn't cook and gave it to one of the guys so he could take it to his fridge. That was uncooked. Like he paid for the cow, so they gave him the raw meat wrapped in butcher paper. They
Hey.
had a slaughterhouse at this football club's restaurant. Every club in Buenos Aires apparently has a restaurant except for Boca Juniors because it's in the hood.
That's why
Okay,
you're a
that
River
was one of
Plate
my
guy.
moments. My other moment was seeing Arsenal win their game against Real Madrid in this town and just meeting a random Arsenal bloke who was amazed that me as an American knew so much. And he goes, yeah, usually you Americans are tossers, but you seem to know your shit.
That game was crazy, man.
And the third moment is just the whole experience going to the Estadio Monumental. And I'll do it with the Boca Juniors tour, like slashing them. It'll see these two South American giants who produce some amazing players that we have loved, including that crazy man, Carlos Tevez. You could see that Boca was the heart of the city, but River was more like the king.
Gotcha.
I
They
don't know
had
how to
like the
describe it.
cultural impact
But
sort of
like,
thing.
yeah. Because like they had it was 90,000 people. And I was sitting next to a man from Canada named Dean. Nice man. Had never been to a football match in his life, but wanted to go see a South American match. Had only seen a couple games with his friends who were Man United fans and hadn't seen a game in 12 years. His son had just visited and told him he had to go see, big football fan, and he was just in awe. And by the end of the game, he completely understood why you should watch. He finds it boring on TV and why it's amazing in person.
Gives me a perfect transition, Matt, because again, what we talk about, what makes football so great, and why we appreciate it, is it's not just because, like, not only the atmosphere, it's you sent me a video, it's like a chess match, right? I mean, like, it's the rewarding of being able to watch your team score is a great feeling.
So I explained it to him because he was also a WWE fan like I am. And I explained it to him, like, oh, this is a sport that's more like wrestling in the crowd in the stadium in non-MLS. I'm sorry, I've never seen this in MLS. If people can tell me I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I kind of saw bits and pieces of it at the LA FC game.
Fight and win. Go ahead.
Yeah. But he started to see how the ebb and flow of the crowd and the players on the pitch were doing things to wind up like a play, like a wrestling match, to get like they would take fouls and do things on purpose in certain areas of the pitch because they knew they were by their fans in the big groups in the standing room only. And the chorus would ring around from that spot around. And it was just, it was, he understood it when I explained it to him through the wrestling lens that, yeah, you see they're flopping, but it is just as much a game of skill as is a much of winning over the referee by winning the crowd and putting the pressure of your home advantage on it. I don't see that in American sports. I don't see it in the NBA, don't see it in the NFL, don't see it in the NHL, and I never see it in MLB. And I've saw a little bit of it in MLS, but just barely.
Americans just have a different type of passion towards their sports where it's just unprecedented, you know, in these other countries where their teams are within their communities.
Yeah.
And like you said, like River Plate is like the cultural king of Argentina when it comes to club football.
And what the difference I found was is so when I went to Boca Stadium, they have all these little Boca gift shops out front. If they didn't have it in the team shop, I could find it at a gift shop. And Boca, sorry, River didn't have that because it's in a very rich area of town. I'm talking like I looked up some of these houses that were sale and I converted the funds to American. These are like $2 million like houses as big as mine, Reese. You've been to my house. My house is a it's a modest size house,
I
right?
like the house. Yes.
Yeah, it's a respectable home. These houses were the same size, just made to look, you know, they all looked unique, but they were selling for like 2 million American outside. And there's like car dealerships out in front of it. There's a polo ground. The real culture is where my hotel was in South. But there's no like you had to deal with cash with these guys on the street because there's no like store where you can tap your
Card
card.
ATMs,
Yeah.
yeah.
You had to go hard cash. And that's why when I told you my debit card got eaten by that machine and I lost it, it really kind of put a damper because it did it the morning before the game. And I had to save all my cash to barter with the street guys.
Yeah, I remember you were stressing about trying to find the rights to find the scarf and everything through
I
those
never
few
found a
weeks.
scarf. I learned Spanish for scarf. I even went to a football store where I got your gift. They didn't have any River scarves. So I bought a River scarf on eBay because I wanted to continue my collection. They just, I guess it's so what I later found out was it's not part of their culture down there. It's part of Boca because they, for some reason, they do make them and they do have the chants, but at River, they don't do it. They do the hand
Interesting.
gestures and the hats, and they're big on the bucket hats.
I mean, I guess the scarves is more for like colder weather to begin
Yeah,
with,
European
so
thing. But
that makes sense.
yeah, Buenos Aires is like New York. It gets cold just opposite
Okay.
time. But it was an overall fantastic trip. I would love to go again. I only got to see three places, and there's so much more to see. Cordoba, Ushuaia, a northern part that's like by the Brazilian border, Montevideo, Uruguay, all sorts of stuff. So
Let's jump
if I do
in.
go again, I will let you know. If you want to go see Boca play, man, we can go to the Heart.
Hey, I also need you to
They're by
send me the
bus now.
picture. I also need you to send me the pictures of the game that you were at too, man. I
Oh
didn't
yeah.
you didn't send me no pictures, so I want to see
Oh my
those.
bad.
Okay, let's just jump into a little bit of football of what we watched this past weekend. Fun fact, Man City actually played Aston Villa today,
Yeah, I
and
saw that. Who won? It was 1-1 when I had to give up.
Mateus Nunez in the 94th minute for the winner.
For who?
For Manchester City, sorry,
My
but
bad.
I didn't even know that was on. I was working today, but I'll give a recap of the Chelsea game. Thankfully, we did not film a podcast last week when they drawed Ipswich. Was it Ipswich? Yeah, I think it was Ipswich.
I think it was.
Ipswich just has our number, man. Kieran McKenna, when it comes to playing Enzo Maresca, just like in the championship, he's got something for him. But in this game, I don't know what it is with this team, Matt, but it's just a lack of confidence in the first half where it feels like they need to be punched in the face before they feel like swinging back. And at this time of the season, if you're not swinging first and swinging last, you're not going to make Champions League. And
Like
for example, yeah.
Villa, did you see that score where they went into Manchester City? Or no, not Villa. Who they beat? They beat somebody.
Newcastle 4-1, and
4-1.
Newcastle has been on a run
Yeah.
lately, and I did not think Villa would do that, but they
I think we
punched
had
in the mouth.
talked about it briefly in text, and I said, oh, Newcastle's got this like 3-1 or something.
I was thinking the same thing, but this is what I'm saying is like if you have to be the one to throw the first punch. If you get countered, yeah, it happens, but you have to be aggressive off the rip now, especially at this time of the season.
That's where I'm curious about the game tomorrow for Arsenal because they play Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace and Arsenal really don't have much to play for. Crystal Palace cannot advance into the European spots, even if it goes to the top 11. I mean, I'm talking like the only way they get it is if they other teams win. Like Arsenal
It'll take a
has
lot
to,
for that to happen.
yeah, like Arsenal has to give up that spot to another team. Like they're counting on Arsenal to win, you to win, and Manchester United to win for to extend down to them. Or sorry, Tottenham. No apologies to our friends from Tottenham Hotspur.
We're rooting for you guys. It may not seem like it, but we are. But yeah, just and Matt, here's the
So
thing. Go ahead.
one quick point. I am rooting for them because I would love it just if Arsenal won, Tottenham won, and Chelsea won. London gets all three European trophies. I know that we all hate each other, but I think that would be the best way to soften the blow for everybody.
That might be the
Arsenal
rare,
fans won't be mad if Tottenham break their streak for trophy if they get the Champions League. And you guys will probably be the most mad, but you can't really be that mad because you were basically in a competition where everyone had their arms tied behind their back and you had a baseball bat.
You know, Matt, I think this might be the rare circumstance where Tottenham fans and Arsenal fans might have like a temporary truce where they just decide to bag on Chelsea for winning the wrong, like the worst tournament out of the three.
Well, and it's
I could
not your
just.
guys' fault. You guys qualified for Europa League. It's the damn
United,
United
man.
getting that at the last minute for City just giving up. If you're mad at anybody, you should be mad at Man City.
Hey, I'm with you there, Matt. But yeah, Chelsea ended up scoring in the 93rd minute to actually pull off a win over Fulham. Tyreek George getting on the score sheet as well. I felt nothing, Matt,
I
because
could
I know.
tell. I was like, hey, you got you t you won, and you're like, life is paid. Human existence is terrible.
You wake up at 6 a.m. for this game, and the first 45 minutes of watching your team play like that is just the worst feeling, dude.
Had to get up at 6 on Sunday. Was mildly hungover from going to my buddy's house for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I brought beer and nobody was drinking beer because all these people brought the White Claws and I didn't want to carry it all home. So I ended up having like four beers and then a fifth one when I got home. Or no, sorry, three there and two when I got home. And then I had the other one on Sunday when I watched it. And I'm not going to do any spoilers because Reese is watching it soon.
Yeah, just give me a scale 1 to 10 on the WrestleMania experience.
So it's really weird, man. I don't want to shape your narrative on it. Talk to me when you're done. I
Okay.
have weird thoughts on this Mania. It was very peak and valley for me because I don't watch the product weekly. I pay attention from Royal Rumble on. That's where they kind of set everything up, and then I kind of get the narrators fill in the rest for me. I only watch for 3 months a year, and I kind of sometimes, but now Netflix is on Raw. Arise on Netflix, I may watch it a little bit more, especially if one of my two crushes are on that show, on Raw.
Hey,
Hey,
hey.
Stephanie Vaquer and Io Sky.
On the same weekend after Ipswich beat up one of the London teams in Chelsea with a draw, Arsenal came through with for Chelsea and beat them up 4-0 against Mama Lloyd's team.
I
Matt, you mentioned.
apologize to my mother at 6:30 in the morning. I get a
Yeah.
text, "Honey, I'm going back to bed. This sucks." I'm like, "I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry."
You know what? I respect it though. At least she's up for the game, giving it a try, man. You never know until you see some goals in. But Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
So I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I really wish that guy hadn't have gotten frustrated and studded Saka. I think for the PSG game, I think Arsenal, because like, I'll be honest with you, man. I think they're gonna do just enough to keep second or third. It's Arsenal. That they're not gonna go down to fourth. There's only four games left. They face Southampton, who have nothing, absolutely nothing to play for. And the worst that could happen is they go to third place. I think the best thing would have been to face 10 men all game. Or sorry, 11 men, 10 outfield. And because they don't play next on the Saturday, they play tomorrow, and I think to keep the team fresh for PSG, I think the best thing for them to do would have been to have not that happen. But I could just tell the defender was just getting frustrated. It was a clean red.
Championship foul right there.
Yeah, clean red. I mean, I know the Ipswich fans didn't like it. Even my dad was just like, "Oh, come on, you gotta admit that was a red. Cleats went above the shoe."
Speaking of Southampton, though, I will say I did watch their equalizer. They had an equalizer from Ugochukwu against West Ham in like the 90th minute, and I just appreciate again, man. This is just why I love football, bro. Like their team's going down, they get a 93rd minute equalizer, and their fans are still packing out the away stand, and they are going nuts, bro. It's just again, man. It's an unmatched sport. But Matt, you wanted to talk a little bit about the Liverpool perform game because this is pretty much the certification at this
Well,
time.
everything lands on this weekend in Arsenal. So if Arsenal lose to, shoot, who are they playing? Crystal Palace. Then Liverpool are crown champions. If Crystal Palace draw or Arsenal win, then they have to beat Tottenham on Saturday or Sunday at the weekend for them to win the title. And if let's say Arsenal win and they don't win, then it comes to the next week. Basically, it's if Arsenal drop any points before the next to last game, then they win it. But yeah, man, I mean, Trent willed this team to win this weekend.
Dude, I'm in the boat. Like, yeah, you extended Salah, you extended, Van Dijk.
And like,
Congratulations to Liverpool for getting that over the line for both of them, because those are obviously key cornerstones. But I'm sitting here like, man, like, Trent is replaceable, but what he does offensively is nowhere. You cannot replace that. Like, that is the Pep meme in a shell right there. We cannot replace that.
well, there's a couple of players that could probably generate something close, but and one of them is Timber's brother, if he's still available.
Well, here's the thing, Matt. Like, one thing, again, we were talking about Real Madrid, or I was at least saying, like, they just haven't shown enough in the final third. I think if he does end up going to Madrid, which all signs are pointing that he is, I think that's a great move for Madrid, man, because they're gonna have a lot of output. They have Ferland Mendy on the other side. I do think Madrid, as my early predictions for a Champions League winner next year, it'd be hard for Real Madrid not to win it next year at this rate. So, what was the full look for?
I mean, we don't know what their coach is going to be. Ancelotti, it's basically said that he's out the door. I think it's
Oh
going
yeah.
to be Xabi Alonso, though.
But that's the thing, though, is I don't care who the manager is. Like, this team is going to be so stacked next season, and I just honestly, with the output and the options, if it is Xabi Alonso, the way he uses his outside backs gives me all the more reason to think that Trent is going to be even better for them than I think.
Gotcha.
But congratulations to Salah. Re-signing is a huge deal. Even if people maybe think he's a little bit too old, you can't not re-sign him after the season he's just had. He's just inevitable.
No, I mean, unless you just want the man to make money,
Yeah.
because after this season, like anyone that's going to pay him is going to pay him a signing on bonus of like 60 million cash in his bank.
Exactly. Matt, let us go ahead and jump into some predictions. We got a little timer on Zoom right now, so I want to make sure we
All
follow
right,
through
so
here.
we missed Ipswich. I mean, sorry, Villa, Man United. I mean,
To
Man
Man
City.
City.
Arsenal versus Crystal Palace is tomorrow. I think it's going to be 2-1 Arsenal. I think Arteta is going to rotate his side. He's basically going to play two halves. The only thing that I think could happen is if an injury happens after he makes his five subs.
I think everything you said about Arsenal a little bit earlier was accurate. No point in risking extra effort in this game, playing
I don't
extra
think either team
attacking.
should. Crystal Palace is secure in their place. I think I did the math earlier today. The best they could get is 10th.
And Arteta did say he has no plans to rotate his team, so it looks like he is going to pull him out full strength. So if that is the case, I'm going to go with 3-0 to Arsenal.
Okay. And do you have the games up? Because I don't have them up on my side here.
Yeah, no worries, I got us. So that'll be Saturday, 4:30 a.m. Chelsea at home host Everton. Matt, is it worth waking up for this game?
I'm gonna be honest with you, Reese. It is not worth waking up for this game. If I were you, I would do what I do. Well, you have a never mind. You have a person who lives with you. I'm my own room. What I would do in a game like this is I would wake up at 4:30, turn the game on my phone, and turn it on minimal volume just so I can hear if anything happens, and go back to sleep.
That might be the move, man. Matt,
At
honestly,
those 4:30 games now, it's like even if I know Arsenal's gonna win. It just takes because you're only setting yourself up if something goes wrong. If something go, everything goes right, you're going to feel great. But if that early, my ability to tolerate horse shit is just gone.
I'm just looking at our whole entire schedule this month. Every single game except for the very first game of April has been at 6 a.m. or earlier. Matt, I may not
It's,
even try to wake up for this game,
I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't.
dude.
Everton might do you. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah,
I'm predicting a
no.
2-2 draw.
That's actually a great prediction. I'm gonna go with a 1-0 Everton win. So I don't think I'm gonna wake up for this game.
You might want to do my trick, man. If the girl or the lady friend will allow it,
That's fair.
just turn it on, just barely enough so if the spikes you can hear it and wake up.
Sounds good, man. All these games are going to be at 7 a.m., and this is for the entirety of Saturday after that Chelsea Everton game. We have Brighton hosting West Ham. Right now, Brighton is with 48 points, so they're still hunting for that Europa Conference League spot, so they still have a little bit to play for. West Ham at this point are limping their way to the end of the season. I'm going to go with a 2-0 Brighton win.
Yeah, same here. All right, what we got next?
My poor friend. Newcastle is going to be hosting Ipswich this weekend, Matt.
I'm going to text my mother not to get up.
I'm going to go
I
with
think
the
it's going to be, I think
4-0.
it's going to be just as bad. I think it's going to be a 4-0 or two.
I agree. I agree. The thing is with Newcastle is you don't have to worry about them playing lower table sides. They just beat them up, and that's something Chelsea, for example, cannot do. They decide to struggle against these sides. Newcastle plays the they do not mess around
And
with
what's
these teams.
funny is I've heard that this is the reason why the new sporting director is geared toward Isaac and Guimaraes, because he wants to build a team that he can throw against these lower sides that can rip them apart. And he thinks those are the two
Exactly.
elements that Newcastle has that can do it. And I'm kind of hard pressed to say that, rotate out Rice or Partey if or Guimaraes and then switch out the striker and just flat track bully him.
Thoughts on, do you think Arteta should be, not Arteta, Arsenal should be re-signing, extending Partey? He's had a great season. I'm just genuinely asking.
He gets a lot of money. So I'm gonna be honest with you, man. If they can get Guimaraes in, I would let him go.
Gotcha. Into the
I don't
next.
get me wrong. I would if he stays, it, I don't know the contracts in the background. If it's the way the tea leaves go, I'm not gonna be mad about it. I'm gonna be happy. But if I see that they send Guimaraes and they let him go on a free or a reduced transfer, or he's had a
Tough
good run.
one, but yeah. It'd be hard to not accept Grimrish on any team. Into the next game here, guys. We got Southampton hosting Fulham. Again, this is a part of the season where it's going to be hard to choose teams who are for sure going down. I'm going to go with Fulham 3-1.
I'll do Fulham 2-1.
There you go. In the last 7 a.m. game here, in the last game of the Saturday slate, we have Wolves hosting Leicester. Wolves
Wolves
have
that
picked
are
up.
safe, by the way, from
Yes,
relegation.
officially safe Wolves, who picked up a big 3 points against United last week with a beautiful free kick from Sarabia. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win, but Matt, Actually, give your prediction first, and then I have a question for you.
I'm gonna go 1-1 draw.
One more draw? Okay. Fabrizio Romano did report that it looks like United are currently leading the race for Cunha. I'm just wondering what your thoughts on the fit on that team is.
I guess Cunha doesn't want to win.
I
I thought he was wanted to go to a team that was doing stuff, but who knows? United might be in the Champions League for all we know.
mean, it's every the thing with Fabrizio that I've come to realize is they could be really leading the race right now, but there could also just be no other teams who are actually
Well, it could be
like
the thing too that
making.
everyone's just like, let's see how much money we have and where we go. Let's see if we make Champions League, we make Europa League. Let's talk to our players and see who was open to a contract extension. Let's see how much money we have. And United could just be like, we need bodies.
Well, I'm thinking like the best fit for Cunha out of all these big teams right now in football, and I do think Cunha does fit the best on Arsenal just because I think he is a great option to Odegaard in that attacking mid role. He can play out on the left. He can play up top where he primarily plays for Atletico Madrid as well. I think that's a great option for Arsenal,
It's
but
real quick. We don't have enough time to finish this. I'm gonna stop and we'll be back. All right, guys, we are back. Reese, where did we leave off, sir? I'm sorry, that timer is getting a little dangerously too close for me.
that was our ad break, guys. Hope you enjoyed the ads.
Yeah, hey, Chili's a great product, and Scrub Daddy's phenomenal.
into the Sunday slate, guys. At 6 a.m., we have Bournemouth hosting the mighty Manchester United. Matt, what do you got in this one?
I'm going to give it to Bournemouth. I want to go 2-0.
I think this game's going to be
Just because
close.
I want to keep up my streak of where we predicted Spurs and Man United are. I
It's
think that's the
tracking for
closest.
you. It's tracking for you, man.
Especially with Liverpool, if probably needing to win at home to get the title at Anfield against Spurs. I think I got it.
In the bag, dude. I'll be buying you some lunch, probably. I think that was our lunch bet, right? It wasn't
Lunch
lunch.
Chili's.
I got you.
We can go to
So
Chili's
far.
pre-Champions League final.
There you go. There you go. I'm down. Because you know what, actually, on that note. My favorite band of all time, Linkin Park, is performing the halftime show at the Champions League. Yep. Rip my boy Chester, by the way. But
All right.
I'm gonna go with a 2-2 draw in this game. Into the Sunday slate, or last Sunday game, sorry. Matt alluded to this game. This is gonna be Liverpool looking to lock up the title, hosting the Tottenham Hotspurs. Matt, what do you think the Liverpool closes it out?
I think it's going to be a 2-0 to Liverpool.
I'm gonna go
Unless they
with
already get the title, then they'll just celebrate in a guard of honor or whatever.
exactly. I'm gonna go with a 2-1. Spurs are still a team that can score. They just get scored on more. And I do think Liverpool are still struggling a little bit because they're so close to locking up a special title. And I
Well,
guess maybe
and I feel for the Liverpool fans because they won their title in 2020. They got the Champions League the year before that, but it's winning Champions League is great, but winning the league is special. And they were kind of robbed of it. They got it. Like Arsenal got the FA Cup. We got a trophy that year, but it doesn't feel like it. It's just like a statistic. It's not like watching them celebrate the FA Cup in an empty stadium and watching them not even have a bus parade was just depressing, man.
100%. Lucky for me, I never had that feeling before because we did not win anything the COVID year. But Matt, Liverpool is going to get the redemption, it looks like. But that does wrap up our predictions because it looks like the game after that's not going to be till the following Thursday.
Okay,
So,
we'll record on Sunday.
yes, sir. And guys, as Matt said, we're going to be recording on Sunday. We will have a special episode, probably giving a lot of flowers to Liverpool on that Sunday if they do lock it up. But did you have anything for stoppage time, Matt?
So I wanted to ask you on a question here. So I've been seeing a lot of Chelsea fans on social media proclaiming they're the best team in London. And I think it's debatable because tie for trophies, you guys have the Champions League. I think you get it on the tiebreaker of the European silverware. But here's the question. They always say the best team in London, and their competition is kind of shit. I mean, Crystal Palace hasn't won anything. West Ham has won like the Europa Conference League. I don't think they've ever won the title. Millwall, Charlton Athletic, Queen's Park Rangers, Fulham hasn't won anything in like 100 years. It's Chelsea, Arsenal, and Tottenham. And Tottenham hasn't won a trophy. It won the league since color TV was brought to the country of England. And they haven't won a trophy since like 2007. And it was a rinky-dink one at that. So my question to you is, as a Chelsea fan, there's two parts to this one. Do you think you want to be the best team in London, or do you think that you would like to be the best team in London with more competition?
Ooh.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, it's your only competition is Arsenal, and I think we beat us on tiebreaker. I think we historically have been a better club, but you, since Abramovich has taken over, had that just jacked up 20 years on steroids and just rolled.
I don't want to be the best club in London yet, if that makes sense, because of the last 20 years. I feel like Chelsea does have to prove more. You
Look
know,
at
if they get
Nottingham
a
Forest, they ran out on a decade.
But that's the thing, though, is like if Chelsea managed to win a few more trophies, you know, in this new ownership, then I think they've certified it, sort of thing. If Arsenal continue the trend of not winning any, you know, Champions Leagues, Europa Leagues, which all signs are pointing, they might be one of those competitors this year, though, you know, so.
Well, and to add to this now, when I feel, as somebody who looks at a lot of Manchester United and Liverpool stuff, I see that they kind of like laugh at these guys on these posts. They do that stitch in where they're like, best team in London. Yeah, go ahead, be the best team in London. The real competition is the best team in the North.
Yeah. Well, my thing is like, if you guys, for example, if you win the Champions League this season, I think you guys are undoubtedly the best team in England, or not England, London, because you have a gold Premier League trophy and a Champions League. And I think that gold Premier League trophy, I know a lot of people have hatred towards it, doesn't think it's
The
legitimate.
Manchester City fans have just basically built an entire industry of getting three guys to talk trash to it.
But here's the thing. We'll lock it back in. Like that trophy holds a lot of weight. And I think if you were to ask me, it counts as maybe two or three Premier League trophies. I think it holds that much weight. Now, although you haven't won anything in Europe as of yet, I think with your success that you've had in Europe, you've made it to a final. You may make it to another final. That, again, that holds weight.
And I
So.
think the gold difference in this too is you guys have two Champions Leagues, but the beating us in the Europa League is the one that put. I don't want to say Chelsea, London is blue, but I'm going to be honest with you. I hate to say it right now, just because of the last European final we went to, we lost to you.
That's fair.
I think it shifts to, 60% blue, 40% red, and 1% the rest.
But like again, if we were splitting generations, like it is no argument Chelsea the last 20 years, and then every year before that of those 20 years, it's all Arsenal. So it's like, you know.
But I got a question, like, to follow up on this. What would you feel as a Chelsea fan if Arsenal do win the Champions League? Because I see a lot of the reactionary social media Chelsea guys going, so that's all that matters because Arsenal hasn't won one. West Ham, Tottenham haven't won them. So if another team in London does get that, you guys still have the advantage, just like the Manchester United does. We're tied with Villa and we're tied with City. But do you think that would cause like a apoplectic shock to go through the Chelsea fan base?
100%. I think it puts even more pressure on, for example, the fans to the ownership or the players or the coaching staff, because we both know these fans are very spiteful towards one another. And honestly, it's going to hurt me. You know, if Arsenal win a Champions League, you know, that's like for me. Chelsea winning the Champions League was the best footballing moment I've experienced when in 2021 because I was 11 years old when they won it the first time. I felt actual like I was a core fan for that 2021 year. And you're a core fan this year as you've been the last several years. If you watch your team win it, that's gonna hold, you know, that's gonna make me hurt, man, honestly.
And let me have another time for you. Oh, go ahead.
Let me just preface this. I'll be happy for you though. Not the team, but I'll be happy for you, my friend.
For me, so that's the way I look at it when people are like, when I tell them I have a Chelsea friend and they're like, oh, he's a cunt. I go, no, Reese is not a cunt. Reese is a good man. And he is not a crazy, like that guy I send you all the time who like looks like he's losing his crap in his studio apartment in
Yeah.
London with his shirt off, like probably doing 50 takes to get the right amount of exasperation in his voice.
So crazy, man.
But no, I appreciate that. But my question to you is now, if you're put on an Arsenal hat with me,
Got you. I'm a
if
gooner.
we beat PSG, big if, one of the hottest teams, we played them when they didn't have their stars. It's one of those, we're seeing two like Arsenal versus PSG is similar to Barcelona versus Inter. Two defensive teams versus two heavily offensive, another offensive team. If Arsenal gets through PSG, who do you want to face? I'd rather get Barcelona, because if we lose to Barcelona, it is what it is. But if they beat them, then we get back that one that we allegedly lost because of fraud.
Yep. I am a gooner, and then that would mean I also want Bars to play Barcelona because, like you just
Also,
said.
I think Inter would be a really boring match, Inter versus Arsenal again. The
I could
first
see that.
match was really boring. It
My
only.
thing is, the thing with Inter is if Inter make the final, I don't think they're going to make the same mistake twice like they did against Manchester City. And I feel like if they get back there again, I think for both you and PSG, like, it's going to be very tough to beat that team, Matt. So yeah, I'm going Barcelona. I do think that obviously they have a lot of threat attacking wise, but much like we saw with your midfield, it is just so well organized and there's a lot of chemistry within your group. I don't think Barcelona would be able to handle the midfield that you guys have.
Well, and the thing is too, it's like they beat Real Madrid just as bad in the league as we have. And actually they beat them better. But it's one of those things where it's like, I think it would be a very good matchup, Arsenal versus Barcelona.
100%. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think the Inter Arsenal game would be as boring. I see what you mean though, because that game in the group stage, not group stage, whatever the
The table stage. There we
table
go.
stage. Yeah, there you go. It was boring, but I love I love the tactical side of football, and I think Inzaghi and Arteta are two of the best at it when it comes to tactics. So
Well,
I'd
and
like
because,
to see.
yeah, I'm just gonna be honest with you, man. I really want it to be Barcelona if they even get through PSG.
You need to get back, bro. You need to get back.
Yeah, I think that, dude, the PSG tie, both these ties are just coin flips. I got no idea who's gonna win either. If you took
And
me.
that's the thing. It's like people are like saying like, "Oh, Arsenal are the favorites," or "Oh, PSG are the favorites." Now, guys, like you cannot make predictions in the semifinals of Champions League because it literally goes either way.
If
Like it
Arsenal and
genuinely.
Gabrielle, I would say 51-49 for Arsenal. With Kvyat, good player, works, is filling in that spot good. 50-50. I don't know who to pick.
Is Calafiori also out for the season?
I think he's out until he would be like rumored like Havertz to come back for the final. He'll be back for Southampton in the final. If Arsenal make the final.
Matt, do you have any further questions, my
No,
friend?
sir. Do you?
Not on my end, Matt. I got you answered all my questions at the beginning of the podcast. I wanted to hear
But I
about
would
your
have to
trade.
say, man, if you go, you need to like get a travel card, put some bills on it, put
I
some
know,
bonus money
man.
away. Let's get those bonuses for the travel card in a couple years to celebrate the 500th. I think we need to go to Boca Junior Stadium
Hey, I'd be
and
down.
go back to an Airbnb in the city with some Fernet con Cocos and do a podcast from after watching Boca play and just discuss some football or
You
go
don't have to
see
be
like
quiet.
the Racing Independiente Derby or something. Just do, let's do so like I think you would love Argentina. It was beautiful. I never felt sa unsafe. The food, not like I'm a spicy food guy, but it was very flavorful and simple, delicious food. Empanadas, choripan, the steaks, the coca, the beer, the wine in Mendoza. It's a phenomenal experience, man.
One of my favorite things about traveling is getting that cultural shock. And I think it'd be a cool culture shock in Argentina. I'm with you there,
But
man.
I'm starting again Spanish tutoring because I do realize my Spanish has fallen off. But I will say one thing, and I mean no disrespect to the Argentinianos, they do speak Spanish with an Italian accent.
100%.
It
I
is hard to
actually,
follow.
I know I have a friend that is his family's from Argentina, and my God, when they talk to my dad, dude, it's like
It's like they sing kind of when they speak Spanish.
And then my dad, I'm Puerto Rican, guys. My dad is from San Juan, Puerto Rico. The Puerto Ricans have
Vamos.
a very dirty Spanish way of speaking. Like it just sucks. So like hearing the two totally different accents is that's bad, dude. But guys, we've had a special episode. We're gonna wrap it up. We will see you guys on Sunday for hopefully a special weekend of football, Matt.
Resell and wrap his gift. All right.
Matt, close us out, my man.
All right, live long and watch the football, lads.